Well, we are certainly thankful for your presence here this morning. Jim mentioned, that he's going to have the state of the church address in just a few moments, and told me Wednesday. And so as I was going through and trying to cut some things out, still want to have a lesson and want it all to make sense, I realized that what I had planned for this morning was probably better suited for tonight, because I'll need a little bit more time with it. But the one that I was going to do tonight was able to be cut up a little bit easier, and so I kind of swapped those. Now they should be right in the handout and the news and notes, but on the board all week, it has given this morning's sermon tonight and tonight's sermon this morning. So it's backwards on there. If you've read the sign out there this week, you'll notice that these are backwards. As we again think about, all of those who have lost power, when is this going to come back on, right? When are we going to, be able to get back to normal and have, we woke up one morning, it was 49 degrees in the house. That's cold. And so you wonder, when is this going to come back on? When is this going to be over? And we have an expression, is all in good time, right? All in good time. But sometimes we get impatient, right? When things get off track a little bit, we want it now. And we get a little impatient with it. And I want to talk today about all in, not good time, but all in God's time, these things will happen. We may have heard the expression, I'll get it, but I'll get it on my time, right? When I'm ready. I'm not necessarily going to get it right now that you have asked me to do something, but I'll get it on my time whenever I'm ready to get it. So it means that it's going to be done, but it's going to happen when I decide that the time is right. And sometimes we get impatient with people, don't we? Maybe it's something that I can't do on my own. And so we call and we ask and we say, hey, can you do this? Yes, I'll get to it, but I'll get to it on my time. I don't know if you've seen this going around, but there's this saying, if a man says he'll do it, he'll do it. There's no reason to remind him every 6 months, right? If he says he'll do it, he'll do it. Well, why do you keep reminding me every 6 months to do that thing that you asked me to do, right? We'll get to it, and we'll get to it eventually. Well, that saying, and sometimes we're bad about this, men, I know, but that saying is telling us that it will happen, but it'll happen on my time. We tend to work on our own time schedule. And I think that's why many lose faith in God. They're not willing to wait on His time schedule. And we get impatient and we want to rush. And so because something hasn't happened when we think it should, we start to lose faith. We start to lose trust in God. And so when we look at our context, it's all about the Lord's return. Some, he says in here, are willfully ignorant about the Lord's return. They talk about the time when they say everything has continued the way that it was from the beginning of time. They say, well, they forget about the flood that happened in the days of Noah. They're not taking that in consideration. They're being ignorant about that. Others just simply want to complain about that. Where is he? But it will all happen in God's time. And when it happens, I can guarantee you that it will be the right time, even though we may have wanted it sooner, or we may want it to be longer from now. I want to look at three things about this context. Number one, the Lord doesn't break His promises. He says the Lord is not slack, or some versions may say the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness. God is not going to break His promise. He says He's coming, and He will come. The Lord is going to return. It just may not be when we want Him to return. Think about all of the Old Testament prophecies that happened. We prophesy in the Old Testament about the virgin birth. They prophesied about a Messiah that would suffer and die, a Savior that would suffer and die. And it doesn't make a lot of sense, maybe when you think of a Messiah or a Savior, that they're going to suffer and die, but that Messiah was also going to resurrect. There's all hundreds of these prophecies about Jesus. And you know, all of them happened hundreds of years, some of them even thousands of years later. It will happen, but it will happen on God's schedule. It will happen in God's time. Here's what we know about that time. In Matthew 24 and verse 36, speaking of Christ's coming, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Isn't that something? That the Lord is going to return. Jesus stands ready right now. He doesn't know when He's going to return. The Father knows when He's going to send Him. But the Son doesn't even know. The angels in heaven don't know. But it will happen someday, and it is going to be on God's time. We don't know that day. We don't know that hour. And because of that, we know in verse 42 of that same chapter, therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. So be ready every day. If we knew the day and the time that Jesus was coming, maybe not all of us, but most of us would wait, right? Well, I know He's not coming until this day, and so I've got plenty of time. And so I'll wait, I'll do all the things that I want to do, and have all the sin that I want to have, and then a few days before, I'll give myself a couple of days, a few days before, then I'll start preparing myself and getting ready. God doesn't leave that to chance. He says, because you don't know the day and the hour, be on alert. Be ready now, because He will come at a time that we do not know. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 8, part of our context for this morning, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. Sometimes we take this verse out of context and we want to add millions of years, right, to Genesis. Say, well, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, but it also says 1,000 years is like one day, so we're right back where we started, right? So what's the point that God is trying to make here? He says, I don't judge time like you do. I'm not held by time, I'm not held captive by time like you are. We have 24-hour days. God's day is never ending. Right? He's not held in time the same way we are. And so He can be more patient with us. He's capable, able to do that because He doesn't judge time like we do. It's not flying by too fast for God. It's not going too slow for God. He's not held by time like we are. And so that's all He's trying to say there. So it will happen in good time. It'll happen in the right time. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John 14, starting in verse 1. I may have put Luke. I noticed this morning that I had Luke in my notes at one point. So it may say Luke in your notes, but it should be John 14 and verse 1. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus says, I'm not going through all of this preparation, preparing a place for you, and not coming back to get you. We know that it will happen. The Lord does not break His promises. But we do understand that the Lord is showing His patience. He's demonstrating patience to us. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. He's being patient with us. Think about this. How long did the world wait the first time that Jesus came? Well, if the genealogies in Genesis are correct, it was over 4,000 years that they waited that time. About 6,000 years old, if you follow the genealogies of the Bible and believe that God made the world in 6 literal days. So about 4,000 years they waited the first time for Jesus to come. And we think, when's He coming? Where's the promise of His coming? Even back very shortly after Jesus was ascended into heaven, they're asking those questions, and they've been asking them ever since. Notice in Galatians chapter 4, even though it was a long time, 4,000 years. Galatians chapter 4, starting verse 3, "So we also, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." He says, but when the right time came, God sent His Son. That was the exact right moment to insert Jesus, to insert the Messiah into the world. Do you think God has lost that ability? No. What God is doing is He is being patient with His creation. I created this world, everyone in this world, and I'm being patient with them. Think about the patience that God shows in His creation, right? He's planting and harvesting. Does that take patience? Why didn't God, you know, say, well, okay, this seed, when you plant it, it's going to sprout an apple tree with full-grown apples in the morning? No, there's some patience that's involved. There's some work. Doy Moyer used to say, God loves the process, right? He loves that process. He loves to see us grow and learn. And so we see the planting and harvesting season. We see the passing of seasons, right? It's winter now, but it will soon be spring. Maybe not soon enough, but in God's time, it will be spring. His patience is shown in His plan to save mankind. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 18, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but being made alive in the Spirit, in which He also went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient in when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark." Now, notice that. He says He kept waiting. What was He waiting for? Because in Genesis chapter 6, we see the anger and frustration of God. Starting in verse 5, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was on evil continually. The Lord was sorry that He had made man on the earth. He was grieved in His heart, and the Lord said, I will blot out man, whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things, birds that fly. I am sorry that I have made them." But yet, He kept waiting. 120 years as Noah is building this ark. He was ready to destroy them in that moment, and then He found Noah. Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and so He kept waiting. God is showing His patience by not returning now. Even though we may want Him to come, Lord, you know, come, Lord Jesus. He is showing us His patience. And He's showing us His patience because He wants you, yes, you, to be saved. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. This explains the long wait. He's being patient with you. You know, I used to read this verse and think to myself, you know, I would say, why hasn't the Lord come yet? You know, the things are so bad, I could use, you know, we could use a rest. And then I would say, my dad. But what about my dad? Well, my dad is now a child of God, thankfully. But there are still others out there that I say, get just a little bit longer. That God is showing His patience because He doesn't want any of these people, the same people that I don't want to perish. He doesn't want any of them to perish. I know that there are times that I would have sent him already. If I were in control, go now. Not knowing even about the, you know, thinking about the consequences of that. We probably all have been in that same situation where we, you know, just come and take care of my issues and my problems. And all of these people who are against me, just come without thinking about the consequences. See, God knows the consequences. And He's being patient. I assure you that the Lord will return and it will be at the right time. Because it will be in God's time. So what should we be doing during this time that we're waiting? John 9, 4 and 5, Jesus Himself says, "We must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. When I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus, yes, is going to come. And he's being patient with you. He's being patient with others because he wants all to be saved. But if you go back to our context and read verse 10, we focused on verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Now notice verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. It is going to come. Don't think that just because I'm being patient or there's a little bit of a delay in your mind, don't think that I'm not coming. I am coming. That day will come. Why not begin the journey with God now? Take your first steps to becoming a child of God, either to be baptized and in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, or if you've already done that, to come back to God this very day. We're here to help you. We're here to pray with you, pray for you. We can baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins today. Whatever the case may be, whatever your need is, please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.